Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to shift gears here. And we need sustainability. We need to know that what we're building and what we've had as a country, it can be sustained. And as you know, there's an election in 2016, so there's a lot of talk about the sustainability of our economic system and how we're going to get to the future and what will be the legacy we leave behind. And we're real fortunate. We've got a great guest lined up here. Beth really did her homework. Steve Odlin is the president and CEO of Committee for Economic Development, CED, the Committee for Economic Development. Website is ced.org. And so we're going to be talking with Steve about their organization and some of the reports and some of the work that they're doing. Founded in 1942, wow, been around for quite a while. The Committee for Economic Development is a nonprofit, nonpartisan, business-led public policy organization. They're big into research and analysis and presenting solutions for our consideration to the nation's most critical issues. And very glad to talk with Steve. And Steve comes to us with a lot of experience previously Office Depot, where he was CEO of the company, and that's right here in Florida, and also had served as CEO of AutoZone. So outside of his work at the Committee for Economic Development, he serves on the boards of General Mills and Analogic, and is trustee of the conference board. So very excited to have Steve with us. Steve, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks very much, David. Glad to be here.
We're very glad you're willing to take some of your time, and I know it's precious and valuable, and you're busy, and anybody with your credentials and background is doing that unless they have gone and bought an island and hidden from the world. So I know you're busy. First, I confess to Steve that I, before we start the program, that a lot of people may not be aware or tuned into the Committee for Economic Development. And I guess, you know, part of your goal here is to provide nonpartisan, very objective information and research. And so maybe that sometimes you fly under the radar, kind of like a stealth bomber.
Yeah, well, you know, the Committee for Economic Development was founded in 1942 when President Roosevelt convened the who's who of CEOs in that era and asked for economic advice following the war. And so these guys got together and they created the committee as a not-for-profit in that era. And they proceeded to do the thinking that went into the Marshall Plan and the Bretton Woods Agreement, which subsequently created the IMF and the World Bank. So some really important stuff in our history, and allowed Europe to reintegrate into the economic community and helped our whole global economy to recover and grow, and the dynamism of the 50s and 60s and so forth. So we've been going for nearly 75 years ever
wow.
since, working on economic policies led by business in a nonpartisan fashion.
Excellent. So a couple questions that the audience will say are obvious and that they want me to ask you. Here they are. How is it funded today? Is it still under a government sponsorship?
No, we've never been government sponsored. We're sponsored by our business members. We have 175 members, mostly sitting CEOs, some university presidents, and other business leaders. And then we also do get private foundation support, mostly around our education work. You know,
wow.
So we do work in fiscal policy and monetary policy, education, the debt deficit, entitlement reform, everything you can think of that touches the economy, except, you know, but we don't touch social issues, and so therefore that's how we get Democrats and Republican business leaders to work together.
Hats off to you for doing that. That's really great. I mean I'm excited to talk to you more about it, Steve, because my view of your organization just went through the roof because of that not being under the government funded, and because that's what a lot of people are concerned about. How big of a staff do you have? I mean, you have people that are volunteering, I imagine, with some of the work there, with some of the people that are involved, or is it all paid staff, or is it a mix?
We do have a small paid staff here in Washington, D.C., and then our members themselves do engage, and we're able to leverage their help. We started as a traditional think tank, meaning that we wrote papers and books and people read them. Now they, unfortunately, in Washington, they don't even read the bills they pass, and so we've engaged a lot more in pithier papers, and we do a lot more outreach. So it's a balance of leveraging our CEO members to get out and get the word around the country with business leaders and with our elected officials here in Washington, to make them aware of our policy recommendations.
That's excellent. So here's the other question that the listeners are out there thinking about, Steve. How do you keep it nonpartisan? How do you hold to that apolitical position?
Yeah, it's a tough act to do, and it's probably the reason why you haven't heard us. You know, most of the energy and the emotion and the money is on the far left and the far right today, and that's really unfortunate in a lot of ways, because I suspect that the vast majority of Americans are around the mean. In other words, people want solutions out of Washington, and so, you know, our business leaders get together and we approach these policy issues just like we would any business issue. You know, when I was running a company, I had a group of executives around the table, and I didn't say, okay, let's pull out the Democratic Party playbook, or let's pull out the Republican Party playbook. We said, let's work together. We are all Democrats or Republicans. Who cares? Let's work on the business issue. And that's the way we approach our public policy issues, and that's far more successful.
Thank you for that. That's outstanding. I love that. That should be something that every one of the folks running for president right now should have to read and subscribe to. But that's, of course, you know, that doesn't make for a good election rumble. Very interesting, Steve. So I know that there is you've got some reports out and there are some subjects we want to get to here. And one of the big ones is on making capitalism sustainable. That's really, I think, one of the big themes, and some of your research, you know, is really focused on this. And one of the specific things was the Crony Capitalism Report. And that's for people that want to get a good look at that. That's over on your website, ced.org/crony-capitalism. So the question I have for you, and it's a bit of, it's a little bit loaded, but I think it's a great question, is if the goal here is to make capitalism sustainable, does that mean that our default current path that we're on, that the form of capitalism we have is not sustainable?
Well, you know, capitalism is the greatest economic system known to mankind, and I think we've got to continue to remind ourselves of that and the next generation of that. It's created the highest level of wealth and standard of living, quality of life and well-being ever known to mankind. It's encouraged the growth of democracy and freedom, lifted billions out of poverty, and this is carried around the world. But I think that capitalism in America is under siege. You know, if you go back to the Occupy Wall Street movement of a couple of years ago, the vilification of the top 1%, and you've got now leading presidential candidates advocating for democratic socialism or other flavors of government that really control asset allocation. And we are against, you know, more government control or more government manipulation of markets. I think we need certainly government regulation to guide markets, level the playing field, provide boundaries to make investors and consumers safe. But then get out of the way and let companies compete. And that's what we think needs to happen here. So, you know, the sustainability part of it is not an environmental term, although we borrowed it from that. You know, capitalism didn't come down from the mountain on stone tablets. It's an organic system that has changed, driven by our societal needs over the past 300 or so years since our country's beginnings. And it started out with Adam Smith's Invisible Hand, wild and woolly free market capitalism, but it has evolved to embrace government involvement and regulation to protect consumers. And so we want it to evolve now in order to meet society's needs, agree on the safety nets that are needed, but then to get together as business leaders and make the changes that are necessary so that we don't throw out the system and lose what we've gained here over the past 300 or so years.
Yeah, really. Amen to that. If you're just joining us, Steve Odland's our guest today, President and CEO of the Committee for Economic Development. Website is ced.org, and that Crony Capitalism Report is there. You can pick that up and lots more. We're going to grab a break, and we'll come back and talk with Steve more, kind of get a little more particulars about this crony capitalism. What is it, if you don't know, and what are some of the components, and then what's driving some of the growth of this being a challenge? And we'll dig in a little deeper. Stay right there.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Digny Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation, before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, Please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Does getting financial advice seem like a game of cat and mouse? Maybe it's time to hire a fiduciary, a financial professional who puts the needs of his clients ahead of his own. A fiduciary also means an advisor should recommend products and services he believes will best serve his clients' needs, not what an insurance company or investment company tells him he has to sell. Next time you're talking to an advisor, ask him, "Are you a fiduciary? Yes or no?" If the advisor doesn't know, then the answer's probably no. This public service announcement is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Very excited to have Steve Odlin on the line with us, President and CEO of the Committee for Economic Development, and learned a bit about the organization before the break. 175 business members, and they're a not-for-profit, self-funded, and created back in 1942, and providing nonpartisan, wonderful information and research. And this idea of sustaining capitalism, Steve, I want to come back to. And one of the threats, as I understand from reviewing your material, one of the big threats is this crony capitalism. So for people that aren't as familiar with that term, let's talk a little bit about that and why it's such a threat to our system and the United States, really, at the heart, to threatens what we're about.
No, it really does. I think capitalism is threatened by a whole number of things, including, you know, some people think there's inequality of opportunity. Money and politics simply are corrupting the view that government is by the people and for the people, both on the left and the right. You know, aging society is putting pressure on our retirement entitlement system, and, you know, you have young people graduating with highest level of debt ever. So you've got a lot of pressures on the system. But this notion of crony capitalism, which is that there are government and private deals that benefit the few at the expense of the many, is something I think that really shakes the faith in capitalism. So you have people out there saying, "Wow, we're looking at these special interest groups," and this isn't a one-sided issue. This is people on both sides, far left, far right, that are just distorting the system here. And so, you know, this is something that we feel strongly that is corrupting capitalism, and it's got to stop. And, you know, we have some examples, for instance, and right here, right there in Florida, the sugar industry is a great example of it, you know, and not to name specific names, but you have the government protecting the domestic sugar industry by shielding producers against, you know, any foreign tariffs or foreign competition here. But it, you know, we are paying $3.5 billion more annually through higher prices in order to protect it, you know, these growers. So, you know, that's one example of a deal. The defense industry has examples, you know, licensing in just little simple things like hair braiding and teeth whitening, farm subsidies all over, U.S. food aid. All through our system, there are these deals that have been struck between the private sector and the government that are special deals that favor the incumbents typically and don't level the playing field. And this isn't good for capitalism.
Yeah, well, and I know you've described it as the perfect storm with crony capitalism right now. We've seen, of course, the growth and the size and the breadth or reach or scope of the government. You've seen, of course, campaign costs. You know, it's I don't know if we'll set a record this current election cycle or not, but I mean, it seems as though it always takes more and more money, or is it more and more money is at least involved. And then a lot more lobbying going on as well.
Well, all of that then, you know, it shakes the trust and the faith in our system. And so, you know, the money in politics, the crony capitalism is corrupting the view that our government is for the people. And so, therefore, you've got people going, well, we got to get rid of this system because it's not working for us. When, in fact, we business leaders who have had our heads down, we're avoiding the issues, we're trying to focus on our businesses, we've got to pick our heads up here and get out of the foxhole and say, okay, enough's enough. We need to engage here, and we've got to speak out on these things that are distorting the system, or else we're liable to lose the whole system that has created this greatest economic system ever known to mankind. That's why we feel so strongly about it.
Well, and it's good medicine for us too, isn't it, Steve? Because at the end of the day, it's the American taxpayer who ends up footing the bill for whatever deals are made or whatever kind of, you know, sweetheart package is put together. We end up paying for it.
We do, and it comes out of our pocket because ultimately 70% of the American economy is the consumer. The rest is government, by the way. And so it ultimately somebody has to pay for it, and it is us. And so, but you know, I think as business leaders, we want to focus on what we're doing today. We want to focus on growing our companies and so forth. And you know, it's hard to tell a business leader in Florida, gee, you have an obligation to stand up here and engage and speak out against these things. They go, well, I'm just running a small business. You know, I don't have that obligation. But we really do as business leaders need to do this. We need to play the adults here and say, and stand up and say, we've got to stop it. You know, we cannot engage in the crony capitalism. We've got to stop the deals, because otherwise the disaffected groups who don't understand and appreciate the strengths of the free market, who don't understand, you know, what our economy is and how it is the greatest system, they are liable to put somebody in office or, you know, worse, there's going to be a hostile takeover here,
yeah,
and a change
right.
in our system
right.
that will change it forever.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody wants that. I think that you've made some very good points, Steve, that there's got to be, you know, addressing this, and everybody's got to be willing to participate from either side of the, you know, either side of the aisle, so to speak. I want to get into some of the details about how to get, you know, quote-unquote capitalism back on track, and I want to hit a break real quick, and we'll come back. Steve Odlin, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today, President and CEO of the Committee for Economic Development, CED.org, and that new report on crony capitalism is out on the website, www.ced.org/cronycapitalism.com. Right back after this break.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Hi, this is Steve Tassinelli, and I'm a CPA with Holland Tax and Accounting Services. Our tax team holds the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years at Holland Financial. We have the expertise to help you manage your financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you're an individual or a business, you can rely on Holland Tax for personalized service and attention to detail. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free. That's 386-671-7526.
All right, we're back, and we saved really the heart of the issue here for our final segment. Steve Odlin's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, President and CEO of the Committee for Economic Development, CED.org, and crony capitalism is what we're digging into because we want to sustain this capitalist system that we have. And the question we kind of posed there before the break, Steve, is how do we get capitalism back on track? And I think that we would think that a lot of people would agree on these points, and let's talk through them. And some of the things that we need to do, the strategies, I suppose, are some of the key points, and let's walk through them. So what would you say are some of the big things we've got to accomplish to save capitalism and get it back on track to work for everybody?
Yeah, well, first, you know, David, you said earlier this is the perfect storm, and it really is. The size and spending of our government has grown from less than 25% of GDP in the 60s to more than 35% today. The rising campaign costs are just out of control. The latest total campaign costs are over $7 billion. Lobbying is now the third largest industry in Washington. So this is clearly a huge issue for us. We've got to get capitalism on track. There are a number of things that we can do, and we all need to pull together on this thing, and we need to pull together in the interest of the nation, which sometimes is against our self-interest, right? So our tax code is like Swiss cheese, right?
Yeah,
it's full of holes, and we've got to plug all the holes, and any one given company has got to be willing to give up their little tax break in order to, and everybody's got to do it in order to flatten this thing out and to get rid of this just terrible, terrible system. Our regulatory code is riddled with favoritism. The code clocks in at over 81,000 pages of regulations today, which creates an enormous amount of cost and complexity to business. So you've got to go back through and do cost-benefit analyses of regulations and redo the regulatory code.
Yeah.
You've got to reform lobbying and campaign finance systems. You've got to enact stricter prohibitions on members of Congress and their staff from going right into the firms for which that lobbied them. You know, the revolving door in Washington has just gone out of control. And you've got to reform the campaign finance system by enacting a matching fund system to level the playing field between the small and the large contributions. So these are just a few of the things that I think, we very large issues, David, but a few of the areas that we need to address in order to fix the system.
Well, on the first one, it's kind of a running joke I'm a CPA by training, Steve, and it's kind of a running joke among CPAs that whenever Washington talks about simplifying the tax code, they add 1,000 pages and guarantee that people need CPAs to do their tax return. In fact, CPAs have gotten to the point now with the complicated nature of many returns that it almost can't do a return without the software.
Yeah, every time that they pass a bill, it's the Full Employment for Accountants and Lawyers Act. They ought to call it that. But it really can be simplified, and it should. But it requires somebody. It requires any individual company to give up their special tax break. And so this is where we as Americans need to look at the bigger picture and say, guys, we're risking losing confidence. Look at the millennial generation. The majority of millennials in recent polls have said that socialism is a better system than capitalism. That's incredible. I mean, do they really believe that? Do they really want that? Do we really, as business people, want that to happen? That's the future of our country. Or do we want to say, okay, it's time. We need to give up. All of us need to give up each of our little special tax breaks in order to get a code that is fair, that flattens the playing field, that lowers the rates, but gives up the Swiss cheese, And same thing with regulations and everything else. All the special favors have to be dialed back, and the codes need to be simplified.
Well, what do you, and again, I know your organization is nonpartisan, and there needs to be, everybody's got to be willing to look at these things, objectively without, from their quote unquote vantage point or position. But anytime you mention, anybody mentions flattening the code or reducing brackets, the immediate response is always, oh, this is a handout for the rich, or you've heard all the rhetoric, I'm sure. So how do you get some movement on that where serious people are willing to say, well, look, let's look at making it a very much more simpler code, because not only for individuals but for corporations, and make it to where there's a strong incentive for companies to want to come to the United States as opposed to doing this these reverse acquisition tax deals that put them out overseas.
Yeah, just focus on the corporate tax rate. The vast majority of Americans are employed by small businesses. Small businesses, as you know, are taxed as individuals through LPs, LLCs, pass-throughs, and so they are taxed as individual rates.
Right.
But you got the corporate tax rate that is the highest tax rate in the world. The problem is that it's all over the place in terms of who pays what. So, as a retailer, I paid the highest tax rate, whereas you had some companies that were paying zero taxes. And so, there's no fairness in that. So, our point of view is you need to get the tax code, the tax rate down to the levels that are competitive with the rest of the globe, because we are we're competing on a global basis. But then you need to get rid of a lot of the special favors that have been built in year after year after year. Nobody goes back and says, okay, let's look at the favors that were put in the 1960s for, this stuff. Nobody goes back and reevaluates it and says, let's zero-base budget this thing. So this is what what we're saying, and you need to have revenue in order to run the government, you know, and people need to understand that too, you know.
Typically, oh sure.
So you've got to make this revenue, you know, relatively revenue neutral, but at the same time you need to stimulate growth, and that if we had, you know, another 100 basis points, 200 basis points of growth on GDP, that would help solve a lot of our debt issues. But anyway, reformation is required, simplicity is required here.
Yeah, and you know, maybe to get away from all of these loopholes and the Swiss cheese, as you called it, Steve, is simply moving, you know, I look at my personal tax return, and I am one of those small business owners, and it is I don't pay tax at the corporate level. It flows through to my individual return as an S-Corp, but when it's all said and done, you know, there's an effective average tax bracket. You know, what did I really pay? I had this much in net income. Here's how much it was bottom line, and then you look at the top line, and that's a percentage that if we simply got away from all the stuff in the middle, and maybe did a tax just on, I don't know, something else other than just, you know, after all these different deductions that may be done, that it would just be a lot easier way to do it and simplify it. Because there's, as you know, there are just an incredible amount of time and energy and money spent on gaming the system that could be, that productivity could be spent elsewhere, and you know, there wouldn't be such a juggernaut of effort to have to do all that.
Yes, and so, you know, you're sitting there as a small business person, and you're willing to give up some things in order to gain some things and simplify some things, and net, you'd end up better. You just said that, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, just give me a flat percentage on gross revenue. Let's make it really easy.
Exactly, and so there are a lot of serious proposals out there that don't destroy the revenue coming in, but make it a lot easier. And if we had that, then American businesses would create more jobs because people would have a lot more time to spend innovating in their core business rather than dealing with their accountants and trying to figure out what the tax bill is going to be. And so anyway, it's the same thing with regulation, David. I mean, there are so many regulations that people don't understand, the federal level, the state level, the local level, that it is so hard. I mean, just this hair braiding example is just it's so aggravating, it's silly, but you have to have a license to braid hair for a living and receive permission from the government first, which requires months and months of training. You know, I understand that we need to license medical doctors, but hair braiding people, teeth whitening people, come on. You know, let's let these small business people develop their businesses. Let's let entrepreneurship grow in this country.
Amen to that. Steve Odden, ladies and gentlemen, President and CEO of the Committee for Economic Development. You see why we brought him on the program. CED.org. Good report on that crony capitalism over there. Steve, we'll have you back. Excellent interview. Thank you so much for your time.
Great to be here, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.